Well, and another victory Monday here at Flowery Branch for the Falcons, who beat Dallas last night 19-13 in front of a raucous crowd at the Georgia Dome to go to 8-0 and back into the NFC South this Sunday at New Orleans. AT&T's countdown to kickoff starts at 11 o'clock, and kickoff at the Superdome will be shortly after 1. Coach, congratulations. That was a fun night now. A lot of high drama. If you weren't vested in that one, you had to enjoy the football game. But if you were pulling for somebody, it was everything you wanted.
Yeah, it was an electric atmosphere. It was a long day for our team in terms of getting ready to play the game. But the fans were outstanding, and they were in their seats when we were going through warm-ups, and that's a fun thing. It kind of sets the tone for the entire night. It was a fun night.
I've heard a number of people that have reported on the game on the periphery, Smitty, that have watched the game, that it had kind of a playoff feel to it, one of those intense games. Obviously, Dallas trying to make sure they stay close enough to where they can be viable playoff-wise. You guys want to defend your home turf, get another NFC win. It certainly felt that way in the building. Two teams really playing hard, trying to get a win on a Sunday night.
Oh, Coach Garrett had his team prepared. They were working overtime in terms of the way that they came out and played. It was a very physical football game, maybe the most physical game that we played all season. And that's a really good football team. You can throw the records mm-hmm. out for most teams in this league. They had a goal in mind, and we were very fortunate to make sure that they didn't get that goal, and we were able to get what we wanted to get done.
And, Smitty, a different kind of start to this game, and here we see another way that your team kind of adapts to the surroundings and finds a way to win. But you don't start very quickly offensively. In fact, three and out offensively. Your special teams, who have been solid for you all year long, give up an explosion play punt return. And now all of a sudden, it's a sudden change situation for your defense. They come in and the ball's at their own, at your 32-yard line, and your defense came in and really shut the door. And they were big early at preventing points from being put on the board.
Oh, that was a big big series for the team. The defense went out and was able to get them stopped. You know, we got the ball down inside the 15-yard line where they were able to get a first down or two, but we really tightened up and did a nice job. And when you can force those field goals, you got to feel good about it. You know, and on the flip side, we were only 1 of 4 yesterday in,
right.
in our red zone efficiency, and that's something that we've got to, you know, we've got to be better at. When, always going to find something.
I was going to say, you always got something else you can kind of get better at, right?
Yes.
That's right.
We're talking about red zone.
People can look at scores. We can look at stats. We can do a lot of things. But the sudden change and the way your defense handled it and some other issues that went on through the night. And I know you hate to do stuff like that, but forgive me for a moment. Is it one of your better defensive efforts, if not your best defensive effort of the year, given all the ingredients there, Coach?
I think it was a very solid effort by the defense. It was the best one last week or this week.
Yeah.
I can assure you that.
I know that. Yeah.
But they did a nice job on the defensive side of the ball. I did not think that we tackled very effectively in the first half. We gave up some extra yards by not being as efficient as we needed to be tackling mm-hmm. In the first half. In the second half, it was a little different story. I think we only had 2 missed tackles in the second half of the ball game. I think the thing that was probably our best game defensively is we only had 2 mental errors. And when you do that through 57, 58 plays, 11 guys, there's a chance, you know, when you start doing the math, there's a whole lot of chances for mental errors. And I thought we were on top of, you know, we were on top of our game in terms of the mental part of it and our assignments. And when you do that, you're not going to probably give up big plays. We only gave up some big plays there at that last drive and
right.
on that 3rd and 20.
When you start looking at it and you say from the mental side and only a couple missed assignments, and then you think about the environment, the electricity, and the impact of the game and waiting around all day in the stage you're playing on, that kind of tell you where your football team is from a maturity level?
It really does, Wes. We were on point. I thought we had a really good week of practice, and I think we understand where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
You get what you earn in the National Football League, and you know every week is a new challenge, and they're big challenges. And I really thought we had a very good week of practice, and the focus as we got closer and closer to the game really increased. And the guys, you know, the guys in our meetings on Saturday night and Sunday morning, they were on top of it. I mean, everything that we were talking about, they seemed to have a good feel for.
Smitty, I think the fan would be interested in being able to go in the locker room a little bit. You talked about the tackling. And I'm assuming that wasn't a gentle reminder that you need to make sure that you get the guys to the ground and not let yards after catch. Would I be correct in that?
Yes. you're not speaking to a group of elementary school students about making sure that they do their homework and treat everybody with respect. I can assure you that.
Okay,
there's a little more emphasis.
I would assume so, and I'm sure the fan likes hearing that. The fact that there was obviously a tremendous amount of passion in the locker room that you need to maybe make an adjustment from a physical standpoint or a mental standpoint. I want to go back to that second drive where, you know, the third and 20, you give up the explosion play to Ogletree. Obviously, Dante, for whatever reason, allows him to get in behind. And now all of a sudden it changes. It becomes a scoring opportunity for Dallas. And because of Romo's ability to create and keep plays alive, there was a play in there where Robert McClain's on the field, and Robert has a decision to make in the end zone. He can either come to Romo or he can stay on coverage. And what a mature play by a rookie to stay on coverage and allow the guys that were responsible for pursuing the quarterback to get there and not give him the throw. Am I wrong about that?
You're right on. It was that's a tough decision that you have to make in terms of when a quarterback scrambles. Now, we did not do a good job yesterday in containing the quarterback. There were 127 yards where the quarterback threw the ball outside of the pocket. Wow. where we lost contain. But yeah, back to extending plays, you've got to basically lock on to your receiver. Even when you're playing zone, once a quarterback starts to run, and then you've got to make a decision. Is he over the line of scrimmage, and is he running, or is he still a passer? And I thought Robert did a very nice job in staying in coverage, because if he would have come up, it would have been an easy throw. Wouldn't have to put any air on it. Would have been an easy throw, and instead of being down 6-0, we would have been down 10-0.
We touched on him last night, Robert in particular, Smitty, because here's a guy who basically been in Indianapolis, had been in Carolina, and all of a sudden he's just kind of a guy you got at training camp. When he's really emerged and had some big plays for you. I mean, start with the interception week two against Denver, and he's kind of ascending now. He's doing some things you want him to do in terms of his growth as a player within Coach Nolan's scheme.
Yeah, he has really come on. And when his opportunity came up, he's taken advantage of it, and it really was in week two. He hadn't gotten a whole lot of reps and had gotten practically no reps at the nickel corner position where he lined up inside. And we had to get him up to speed real quick when we had to make the move after the injury to Brent Grimes in week one. And by week three, we had him ready to go at the nickel corner, and he's done a nice job for us there. The other thing that Robert has done a real good job is Keith and Eric Satolovich, our special team coaches, are really impressed with the things that he's been able to do. He gets out in single press and punt return and basically eliminates his guy. He's done a nice job. He's a guy that has bounced around for a few years to a couple teams, but man, the lights come on and he's playing really good football for us.
It's an interesting dynamic when we talk about these journey guys as players, and every once in a while may not work out one or two places, but Arch is, you know, you find a home in the third.
Yeah, and when I refer to him as a rookie, a guy that really hasn't played very much. When
you start talking about seven career games, probably in 2 years.
And that's kind of where I lean in with the playing time. Smitty, when you look, I mean, the numbers in which we kind of tend to rely on from a media standpoint to give comparisons for fans, there were a ton of numbers out there that said this was a very good football team, and I think they proved that when they hit the field. One of the numbers, again, that jump out as you look at you evaluate the stats from the game, they're 3-for-10 on third down.
Yeah.
Another great job by your defense to get off of the football field. This was a team in Dallas that was converting 44-45% of the time, which was sixth best in the National Football League, yet you limit a very talented offense with how many times they get to touch the ball.
Yeah, we did a very nice job on third down last night, and we did it by coming after him a little bit. We did it by trying to disguise, and that's one of the things that we've progressed since the first game of the season. We didn't really do a nice job on third down, but we've gotten better and better, and that's the money down. You've got to get off on third down, and I hear Mike say it all the time to the defensive players, hey, we live for third down. That's when you can do some of the things that are a little off kilter, so to speak, and not the norm. You try to confuse the quarterback on those third downs, and guys got to go out and make plays. And really, if you think about it, the one was, the one third and 20.
Right.
How many times are they going to convert a third and 20? But they did.
Right.
We didn't execute the defense, or that would have even been a better percentage.
Well, I know you expect guys to step up and play. And real quickly before we go to a break here, Sean Witherspoon doesn't play for you. Three-down guy that's on the field, makes calls for you defensively, yet this defense played the way they played. And I know you expected them to play that way, but still, you got to be very pleased with guys when they get their opportunities. You got one of your best players standing on the sidelines, all of a sudden there's no drop-off. There's got guys playing at a high level.
Yes, I thought Akeem did a great job, and that's what guys are going to be called on to do through the second half of the season. It's a season where there's going to be injuries and guys not playing well, and other guys are going to have to step up. And the thing about it, everybody was expecting Akeem to play at the same level as Sean, and I thought he did a real nice job. That was the first time that he was communicating as the signal caller. On defense, he had to get us into some checks, and he did a really nice job. And that's a big stage. He was doing it for the very first time.
By the way, as we go to break, you mentioned during your press comments that Sean, despite being injured, was over. And you used the word assisting.
Yes.
Would you like to qualify assisting and exactly?
Well, he was wanting to
I can only
know
imagine what his assisting is like.
Yes. Well, Sean was – into the game, like everybody on that sideline, getting the calls. He's trying to help in any way possible. And I know he was a big help when they came over on the sidelines when the offense was out on the field. He was able to be another set of eyes, for the defensive staff and for the linebackers.
How many times did the get back coach tell him to get back?
Yeah, that would be – that's kind of where I was going with that, Smitty.
Well
– Coach Spoon, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where that rings.
Yes, I don't – we need Spoon the player. And we need to get him back here real soon. But, no, I thought Spoon did a nice job in helping us. And those are things that people don't realize what goes on in a ball game. There's a lot – there's a lot of people that are watching the game from a different perspective, and Spoon was seeing it from his position out there on the field and helping the linebackers. Though he couldn't help physically, he was helping us mentally.
All right, don't forget, third quarter of the season starts on Sunday in New Orleans. We'll come back with Coach Smith and talk about the visit to the Saints, or a 1 o'clock start. The Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing, the Honest Plumber at 770-422-PLUMB. Don't forget, Quiz Rogers will be with us in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. And we've got the U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line at 77530. Your chance to offer a question for the second-year running back, Quiz Rogers. Stay tuned. More from Flowery Branch after this on 790 The Zone.
Romo takes a snap. Falcons bring in pressure, and down goes Romo. Back on the Dallas side of the field at the 47, Babineau and Bierman. Boy, that was really good.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get NFL Mobile, call Star NFL. To get it now, NFL Mobile from Verizon.
And the sack of Tony Romo is our SunTrust Bank defensive solid play of the game. SunTrust helps you stay in control of your money. SunTrust, live solid, bank solid. Don't forget the Mike Smith Coaches Show presented by Superior Plumbing and brought to you in part this segment by Pizza Hut. Don't forget tonight, Saints and Eagles at the Superdome, the Pizza Hut $10 deal is back, perfect for the game. Any pizza, any size, any toppings, just $10 when you order out at Pizza Hut. And with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and Coach Mike Smith here, and then Quiz Rogers at the bottom of the hour in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. Here comes the third quarter. It's my favorite part. We get to these quarter breaks. We get to talk about nice job on the second quarter, Coach. Here comes the third quarter. It was an NFC East second quarter, and now it's really back in the division here with the exception of the Arizona ball game in 2 weeks.
Yes, we get back into the division, and we've got some what I call heavily weighted games. Those are the games that you've got to take care of. Mm-hmm. And it starts with our biggest rival, the New Orleans Saints, this weekend, and they are doing some things on offense like they always do. It's amazing to watch them. Their quarterback is operating extremely well, and under some circumstances where they've had some injuries, and he's not always had all of his guys out there. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Graham has not played. I'm sure he'll be ready to go at full speed for us this week. But this quarter is a challenging quarter because three of the four are in the division. And we've got to take care of the division. If we want to get to where we want to be, you've got to win your division.
Yeah, Darren Sproles obviously had surgery on his hand, has a broken hand or something like that. Not sure if he'll be available come next Sunday afternoon in the Superdome. But when you look at the Smitty, how much are you? You guys are so single-mindedness in each and every week. How much do you pay attention to what's going on in the division? Obviously, Tampa has done a nice job. Greg Schiano's got a little something going on down there. Young running back had a monster day yesterday. Do you pay attention to what goes on in the division? Just take a casual glance from time to time.
Sometimes at the end of the week, we'll take a glance and look at some tape and just kind of go through it on Friday, and you're not studying it, you're just watching it just to kind of see. And we've got guys here in the building that are, of course, are advancing them and are really watching them very closely. They'll go out and watch games live and in person, not members of the coaching staff, but from the personnel side, and we'll get usually two of those games watched before that we play him. So,
well, here's a question the fans, I think, would like to know. How much do you kind of watch the game tonight? Obviously, the team you're going to play Sunday is going to play tonight on Monday night, but it's not the look that you guys get with the all 22 in the coaches look. But do you keep an eye on kind of watching it live, or do you wait for the tape? And how quickly do you get that tape in? Because it's obviously much quicker than it was when I was playing.
Yeah,
you get it right away.
We get it right away. It's all electronically forward, and within an hour after the game, we'll have the tape available. I have a hard time watching on TV, because you can't really see what you need to see, and you're so accustomed to watching a sideline and then an end zone view, sideline end zone view. And we will go back at the end of the week, and we use it, and I know some of the fans use it, isn't it? They have the replay that you can watch the game in 40 minutes or, 35, 40 minutes, pay a fee. And we will go back and watch that just to maybe hear some of the things with the microphones that we have now. And I guess they can pick up a whole lot of things we heard yesterday.
Yeah, last night. Yeah.
Well, and you get a feel for tempo as well. You don't get to see what the tempo is in the all 22 because it cuts from play to play, correct?
Right. You don't know if it's a no huddle play or not. So when we want to look and see who's having the no huddle plays, but
I'm gonna ask you, you go change your stuff, don't you? You have to change your calls, don't you?
Yes, you have to change your calls. You cannot. You've got to have all kinds of different ways to communicate.
Because if I'm New Orleans and I'm watching the game last night, there was a lot there, wasn't there?
There was. I think with the new rule that started last year where you have to put a microphone on the center or one of the guards, they can get a lot of information. It almost like if you and I are talking, it can be picked up and it can be broadcast over the airwaves. And sometimes there is a 4-second delay. That's good because there might be some things that people don't want to hear shouldn't hear.
Who's the best you've been around some of the best that have ever played the game. The guy I can think of is the middle backer for Baltimore. pretty good. Pretty good player. I think he'll have a gold jacket at some point. Who is the best or during a game that you've been around from a defensive perspective that could walk up and listen to a Peyton Manning or listen to a Matt Ryan talk and all of a sudden in the second quarter have an idea what's going on?
Well, Ray was pretty good at doing that. And it was not nearly as sophisticated back then. Of course, we were playing the Colts. They were in the same division at that at that point in time. But it's gotten to the point where there's so many dummy, dummy calls and different ways. And it's gotten to the point where a lot of hand signals, as the quarterbacks will maybe give the offensive line a verbal command, and then everything else is based on hand signals. And some guys are so in tune with one another, it can be just a look. Trying to defend Peyton Manning for all the years there in Jacksonville, there wouldn't be no signal, but he would look at Brandon Stokely and, it was like, do you see that cover? Oh, yeah. Yep, just the look. And, and they get it. And it's interesting. I think the no huddle is percentage-wise is probably up this year, across the league.
How difficult is that? You guys, you limit them to 6 points in the first quarter, and then with about 5 minutes to go, they get into their up-tempo package and are able to move down. Some of that was Romo extending plays and his ability to get out of the pocket. Certainly the touchdown was that play. How difficult is that when the tempo changes defensively? You've had to coordinate defenses to try to get them ready, match up in that situation. But that can be a little more overwhelming, can it not?
Well, it can. We didn't handle it very well. And we pride ourselves on being a team that can play good two-minute defense. And basically that's what that was. Mm-hmm. We were in a two-minute mode. And that's something that we've got to address, that we didn't do well at the end of the Oakland game in a two-minute when they were in a hurry-up situation, and we didn't do it very well in the drive last night. I mean, after the two field goals, we really played some solid defense through the third quarter, through the first 9 minutes of the fourth quarter. So those are one of the things that are on our list to get better at. And I'll give you guys a little insight. We have stuff that we talk about that's above the line or below the line for offense, defense, and special teams. And when we get together on Wednesday and we debrief, I like to call it a debrief of this ball game with the players, we'll talk about the things that we did that were above the line and the things that were below the line. And that'll be one of the things defensively that we definitely will have to talk about. We got to do a better job communicating, and we got to challenge the receivers there. I think it was a 10-point lead, but we still need to be a little bit more aggressive in our mindset and more offensive.
Here in our final 90 seconds, New Orleans has a variety of guys that carry the football. Pittsburgh, by injury or other reason, has a variety of guys that carry the football. To a degree, you have a variety of guys. Michael Turner, obviously 100 yards last night. Quiz will be here with us in a few minutes. I thought he gave you a great lift. Jason Snelling, also a little bit of a punch last night. You introduced this new guy in the backfield that we saw for one play last night.
Tall running back guy.
Out of Foley, Alabama, and I think the kid's got a future.
Yeah.
Are we moving to a multiple back rush game in the National Football League, or is this just a cyclical deal?
No, I think that's what has taken place, and I think it's been trending more so over the last two or three years. You've got to keep those backs fresh. They take a pounding. Mm-hmm. There's different skill sets, and I think we've got guys that have great strengths that are different than the other guys in the backfield. Yesterday, Jaquez maybe didn't get the touches that we'd like actually rushing the ball, but we got the ball into his hands, and he was targeted in the passing game. And when he had his opportunities, he did a great job of getting guys off balance and sticking it and making them miss tackles. And really in that fourth quarter where we were trying to ice the thing away, he was a big part of it.
Yep. Smitty, thanks as always. Good luck Sunday.
Yeah, and by the way, real quickly, and I know you like to deflect this, and rightly so. You've got a lot of people that have stepped up for you. Now all-time winningest coach in Falcon history, 51 wins now. Yep. Congratulations on that. I know a lot of people helped you get there.
Yeah, a bunch of people. Everybody in this organization, not just people in the locker room, but, it's a group effort, and it's a collaborative effort, and we've been very fortunate to win some ball games.
All right, we'll see you on Sunday at the Superdome. Quiz Rogers next in the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. Welcome back. Mike Smith, Coach's Show, presented by Superior Plumbing, continues from Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. Coming up, Quiz Rogers in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. He'll get a certificate from Buckhead Beef, so he can enjoy the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more from Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef. It's the best there is, and he definitely deserves it. So the Falcons now at 8-0 move on to New Orleans for next Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Superdome, and you can be rest assured that they'll be rolling and ready to go at 1 o'clock, despite whatever outcome happens tonight with the Eagles at the Superdome. And I thought an interesting point, Dave, that you made in the closing segment of your first hour with Mike. The fact that it's the Falcons and the Saints is one thing. Now, all of a sudden, here's a game tonight, Philadelphia and New Orleans. There's a lot on this because this has got the ultimate Week 16, Week 17 tiebreaker being a wild card or whatever written all over it, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
And if you're Philly and you watched what happened yesterday, the Giants lost,
right.
Dallas lost, you've got an opportunity here to really get themselves back into it. And with everything that's gone on for Philly,
yeah,
climb back to 4-4, and suddenly you look up and you're only a couple of games out of it, and you get to play those teams mm-hmm. coming down the stretch, you got to like your chances. For New Orleans, I think everybody has considered New Orleans a sleeping giant just waiting for something to jar loose. They've played horribly defensively, but over the last couple of weeks they've begun to really find their rhythm on their offensive side of the football. So you got to expect that New Orleans, even though they've dug themselves a hole, that New Orleans feels pretty good about maybe their opportunity to climb back in this thing. So there's a lot going on for both teams. Kind of a playoff game
yeah.
tonight for those two football teams.
Well, and the way it kind of shakes out, you've got a scenario of teams, and this just happens to be two of them, where the importance of the game, despite it being staged in Week 9, may have Week 16 and 17 implications as we go
right.
down the stretch. Quiz Rogers is with us in the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
No problem. It's good to come in.
I know it's Victory Monday and everything, so we appreciate it. That was a couple pretty big plays late last night. I bet the phone blew up after the ball game, huh?
It did. It did a little bit, but, you know, my number was called. It's plays we run every week, and I just executed them.
Quiz, it's something that you've done since your days in college, and we'll obviously talk about the Beavers. And over the Civil War is looming, so that's going to be big.
Yeah,
we'll
how's that going to go with Drew Davis?
That may be the
better question.
We'll talk about that here coming up here in just a few minutes. But 151 receptions in your college career. So this is just kind of what you do is catch the football out of the backfield. The big thing is how are you making people miss? Because you ran through guys, you're making guys miss. I mean, is that just natural deal for you?
No, that's part of my game. It's natural. It just most of it just instinct and just getting a feel for the game as it goes along.
You guys kind of grinded that one last night, particularly running the ball. I mean, there were times last night where the running game wasn't real pretty. But how much patience? And I think fans sometimes don't understand that you got to have patience running the ball. It may not work well the first quarter, maybe a quarter and a half, two quarters, but eventually you find that payoff play, right?
Yes. You know, in the beginning of the game, we just kept grinding. And, like, we went into halftime and said, we're going to bust one. And once Michael Turner bust the long run, everything just opened up. So I believe that was the turning point of the game when he broke the long run.
Some would say that how good you made Bruce Carter field.
Yeah.
When he came up and stuffed him. Can we get somebody to slide off and get the second level block for you? I mean, what happened on that play?
That's part of the game, man. They, I guess, called a blitz at the right time.
Yeah.
Got a good hit on me.
Got a good lick. And that's the thing that I don't think people understand is how physical this game is. Because you guys are chipping edge rushers
yes.
all the time. I mean, that's got to be a little bit difficult in itself when you're chipping on DeMarcus Ware as you release out into coverage. And then you get linebackers stepping up, hitting you in the mouth. Talk about what you do to get yourself each and every week ready to go physically to take the demand of an NFL game.
We watch so much film throughout the week, you know, just to try to study the guys and study their tendencies, just to learn more about them. So that helps out a little bit. Then you got weights, and coach does a great job making sure we're ready for the game and not over the edge, but just right.
How much what have you learned now that you've been in the league about some of the weekly things that you got to do just yourself, maintenance this stuff to keep your body ready for massages and the chiropractor stuff? Are you doing all that kind of stuff?
Massages, I try to get one like once a week, but, you know, moving, prep, things, stretch your body out, making sure you're ready on game day.
This is I know the transition is always interesting. We had the good fortune to talk to a bunch of guys that make the move from college who tell us that the first year is just 100 miles an hour, and the season goes just like that. Was it that way for you a season ago? And if so, how much has it slowed down for you?
Yes, last season went by so fast. Most of all, you're just trying to learn and try to catch up and try to get caught up with the speed of the game, but also learn a playbook, because it's hard. Once you first get in, you getting a feel for the game, and you're not playing 100 miles per hour because you're thinking about making mistakes and things like that. Mm-hmm. But this year, you know, I learned the playbook, and so everything just come a lot smoother, and it's easy for me to go out there and just focus on what I need to do.
You guys also had, in your particular case, we touched on this with Julio at one point, you guys didn't have the benefit of the OTA. You didn't have the benefit of the full-scale off-season program. So, really, it was like what drinking water through a fire hose a little bit, right? Because when you got in here, yep, it was 100 miles an hour, almost literally, I guess.
Yes, that's what I told rookies this year, man. Y'all blessed to have OTAs. We came in training camp. We had to learn everything. Coaches yelling at us if we messed up, and it was our first and second time learning this stuff.
Quiz Rogers with us here in the Player Spotlight on Head Coach Mike Smith's show here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Quiz, you've got to not only know the packages that you're doing, then you also have to know the base offense, because you're the guy that's going to come in. You and Turner are exchanging, because you can be in the situation where you're in a three-receiver set, you're in a set with two backs. I mean, how much is there for you to learn each and every week to be ready to play?
Well, I say we do a great job of repping everything in practice. So when the package is called, it's great communication from the sideline. So it's just easy just to transition. So if I got a package, I pretty much know what play is going to be when I go in the game.
Then they throw on top a little special teams action for you. You got to be ready on that, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, special team is very important on this level. It's another phase of the game.
Have you got a limit on kick returns? I mean, if you're 8 yards back,
Where's the knee down zone?
In other words, because we had one a couple weeks ago, you were 5 yards back, and it was let's go.
It's around 6 or 7. I stay in.
You get guidance on that when you go out, or is
the off returner tell me to stay in? If the ball is driven low, I can take it out from like 6 or 7, but if it's past that range, I'll take a knee.
Now, how's that conversation? Is it Snell? Who's back there with you?
Snell. Snell's? Yes.
Okay. How's that conversation gone when you're pretty amped up? You think you got a chance, and Snell's comes back and gives you the stop sign. I mean, has there been a situation where, come on, man, you got to let me go?
One time in San Diego that happened, but I was farther back than I thought I was.
Okay.
I was just so amped up, but once I saw it on film, I was like 7 yards deep. So,
were you glad that you dropped a knee?
Yes, because I was a little deeper than I thought I was.
All right, there's a ton of talk about the difference between returning kickoffs and returning punts, and the different spin of the football. How much did you return any punts in college?
I never returned kicks or punts in college.
Okay, well, okay.
James did, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. James Rogers, Quiz's brother here, was a prolific player at Oregon State as well. We'll talk about some of those numbers here in a few minutes. How different is it? I know you've been out there kind of screwing around, catching some punts occasionally. How much more difficult is it from a punt return to a kickoff return scenario?
With punts, they can pretty much go anywhere, and the spin of the ball, it can drop from any point. And, you know, nowadays punters got so many different spins and kicks they can put on the ball. It makes it a lot difficult than kickoff return. Kickoff return, the ball just spinning, and it's easy to just to get up under the ball. But punts can go anywhere, especially if you're playing outside and the wind is blowing. It can hook on you, you know, fall straight down, go over your head when you think it's going short.
When you went into this game this weekend against the Cowboys, were there some areas that you knew you were gonna be able to exploit? Was it the linebacker core? They had some guys that were in some backup capacities playing linebacker. Was there something that you knew when you got in the game they were going to try to get you isolated? Because obviously they got you free a couple times, 3 or 4 times in the flat, and you made some plays.
Well, we knew their defense was tough, so we knew they was a little thin at linebacker. They had a couple of guys missing, but the plays that I caught the third downs on, this plays we run every week, so it was nothing different.
Just make a play.
Yes.
You have, I think you endeared yourself to a lot of people, obviously in college, because of the playmaking ability. And now here in the NFL, a lot of people in this part of the country are getting to see the same thing. The only issue was not many people knew who you were because you played all the way at Oregon State. And as you may have heard, the Pac-12's not on a lot around here. you bring so many variables to the table, Quiz. What's the most important piece of your game? Is it the speed? Is it the elusiveness? Because you have the innate ability to make people miss everywhere.
I would have to say my quickness and my ability to make people miss is a big part of my game.
Yeah. There's no question about it. We saw it in Philly. Remember the run in Philly, the stretch play in Philly, and he's hemmed in, and you turned that into a monster play. Do you feel like at this level, there's so many teams, and Wes was talking a little bit about this with Smitty, it seems like that the NFL has gone to kind of a running back by committee scenario where you got a lot of guys that touch the football a lot of different. Could you, for 16 games, carry the ball 25 or 30 times a game from a tailback spot? Could you do that? Could your body stand up to that?
I'm pretty much used to that. I did that in college.
I know you did.
But this is a different level. But, you know, I'm just going to take advantage of every carry I get.
You'd like to have the opportunity. I know you'd like to have
everybody
the
opportunity.
Everybody would. Sure, you bet.
Everybody would.
At least to find out, right?
Yes.
Well, we got Arch mentioned James is here.
Yes.
That's got to be unique. Not everybody has their brother playing on the same team. Although he's been on practice squad, you guys were together in the preseason. That's got to be a lot of fun, right?
It's fun. You know, I just, you know, gave him some guides to, you know, what I know from being on this level. So I helped him out a little bit with his transition to the NFL.
You guys staying same house? Y'all?
Nah, he live on his own.
Is that the way? You don't want that deal, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we got to take a break. We'll come back with quiz. We'll talk a little bit about the Pac-12 and what's going on with
and
Oregon
Richmond,
State.
Texas. We got to find out about Richmond, Texas.
Got to find out about Texas. And we also some staggering numbers from Quiz and from James when they were in college that are right up there in the top of NCAA history.
And don't forget, you can text Quiz at 77530 or U.S. Auto Sales. You tell us text line, or we'll pull a question and ask Quiz before we're done as well. The Mike Smith Coaches Show presented by Superior Plumbing continues with the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight after this on 7-9 of the Zone.
Here's Ryan taking the snap. Flush, dumps it inside. That's Rogers. First down and more. 40, 45, midfield. To the Dallas 45 goes the littlest guy in the building.
Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Experience NFL football on 4G LTE. NFL Mobile is built to bring you the game. And I apologize up front.
Are we still okay?
He calls you the smallest guy in the building with the biggest heart. He didn't come with that. He came with the biggest part.
Also said the smallest guy in the building made the biggest play late. We're still okay, right?
Yes, we're good. I guess.
You're not mad at me, are you?
No, we're all right.
Okay. All right. Quiz Rogers with us in the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. Man, it's all emotion. It's not on script, I promise. Two big plays like that. I know what it means to the team. Can you talk about what it means confidence-wise? I mean, there is a level of that you make plays at this level. You know, you start to feel like, okay, yeah, I can really be a part of what this is. I mean, it's a confidence about yourself as a player as it is about your team, right?
It's always it's confidence because when you make a big play like that, everybody cheering you on, the stadium going loud, so everybody just getting into it. And when you go to the sideline, everybody shaking your hand. Then you do it again, it's just more exciting.
Well, and you become a guy now, for you now, that teams now have to prepare for. They say, wait a minute now, let's look at this guy out of the backfield, and not only is he making people miss, he's extending drives, he's putting the ball in the end zone. And that becomes, you become a weapon on this team, not just some guy that they put in at running back. That's also part of the mix as well.
Yes, it is. Man, we got so many great guys on offense, teams got to prepare for. So me coming in the game, I'm not too much of a worry, so that's why I have an opportunity to make plays like that.
All right, let's help some kids out there that might be listening or some dads that want to teach their kids. Talk about catching the football. I just talked about 151 collegiate receptions. You had a big night last night, I think 5 receptions over 60 yards last night. What is it that you look at when the ball's got – what's your concentration level? Now, I know it's second nature. You've caught so many passes now in your career, but take me back to the basics of catching the football. What is it they need to look at?
It's hand placement, you know, thumb to thumb and index finger to index finger, and basically just looking the ball in, because something simple like that, if you don't look the ball in, you can drop one. And that happened to me our last home game on the screen. I didn't look the ball in and I dropped it. It's something you just take for granted. You think you can just do it over and over, then you lose focus on the ball. And a simple pass, you can drop it if you don't focus on it.
How much is it the tension in the hands? Is there something where you got to less rigidity in your hands, got to be a little softer with the hands or something like that? Because I know, again, I'm getting you to try to reach back because I know it's second nature to you right now. But think back of some of the basic stuff about catching the football. You just made some great points there, but is there some softness to the hand that has to be involved too?
Mostly trying to catching it with your fingertips and not letting it hit your palms, because if you let it hit your palms, it probably will bounce off. So fingertips will help you, you know, catch it softly.
There you go, man. There's the basics. Catch the football. You teach your son. If he wasn't listening, you can go out and give it to him. Quiz Rogers broke it down to him.
Final 4 minutes here with Quiz Rogers in our player spotlight. What do we need to know about Richmond, Texas, other than must be some players in Richmond, Texas, huh?
Richmond, Texas is a small little city outside of Houston, like 20 minutes away. Everybody, when you say Texas, everybody think of cows and cattle, but it's not like that. We got a little city life to us.
So no cows?
No cows.
Okay.
So how'd you get to Oregon State then?
Well, my brother had went to an All-Star game. Then one of the coaches there had recommended my brother to Coach Riley. Mm-hmm. Coach Riley came down to recruit my brother. Then after that, he started recruiting me. So it was I was in a situation where the senior running back at Oregon State was leaving, so I knew if I went there, I have a chance to play, because it was only a red shirt running back and a JUCO running back, and they never played a collegiate down yet. So I knew I can go in and compete with them.
How different was it for you to go from where you'd grown up to now you're in Corvallis, Oregon? And that's got to be a little bit different, right?
It was a huge change, but the people out there are so nice. They was welcoming, and I enjoyed my time out there. And when I go back, they still show me love.
Oh, well, you're a rock star when you go back now.
Right?
You and your brother. Let's look at some of that real quick. Here's some of the numbers. James finished his career with 57, just under 5,800 total yards. This is all-purpose yards. And Quiz was right at 5,000 yards. So you're talking about two guys combined, almost 11,000 yards between the two of y'all. And I know you had a chance to put it in the end zone a few times while you're there as well.
Yes, it was a big part of offense. At one time, somebody had calculated we was like 70% of the offense, because we had both got hurt towards the end of the season. It was like they were saying 70% of the offense is out. So it was a huge part of it.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, tell me about the game. Can we talk about the game real quick?
You want to do so?
Go ahead.
Here's the U.S. Auto Sales text line. Let me. I want to ask the question here that we got from the 301. What sound does a defender make when he's falling backwards with broken ankles? Because evidently you break ankles. So the guy wants to know, what sound does a defender make when you shake him?
Wow, that's real. That's real right there.
That's
now.
Good. I like
that's
that.
That's real. Not to mention the fact there's laundry all over the place. Yeah. A yard sale.
All right, now the Civil War.
The Civil War. Let's talk about that game. We talk about when you're here in the South, you hear about the Iron Bowl, Alabama, Auburn. Obviously, Georgia's getting ready to play Auburn coming up. That's the longest-running deep South rivalry. Talk about Oregon State. How fever pitch is it out there?
The Civil War is big. I know when I was in college, we had a chance to – both times we was up for the Civil War. I mean, we was up to make it to the team that won was going to go to the Rose Bowl. My team, unfortunately, lost both games. So we can be in a similar situation this year. You know, I like how our team been playing this year. You know, we ranked pretty high this year. We just can't lose no games we're not supposed to lose. So if we go into the Civil War, I believe we got a chance if we just put up numbers we're supposed to.
How's that going to work for you and Drew Davis week of the game?
I'm going to ride with my team. We'll have some type of bet. So I'm going to ride with my team no matter what.
It's interesting to watch these college lines clash a little bit, right,
yes.
In the locker room?
College football is so big in the NFL, man. I noticed that when I got here. My team went like 2-something last year, and everybody just bash you when your college team lose.
Just taking a bath in the locker room. You're not even playing to getting hammered, huh?
Yep, you already know.
All right, Quiz, enjoy the week. Good luck in New Orleans on Sunday. Thanks for a great effort last night.
Thank y'all for having me on.